1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Thanks. Well, good afternoon. Let me have my welcome. Now, I have a little bit of a problem if I'm well. Our local GP practice is very good by all accounts. The three main GPs there, one is sort of my wife's closest friend, one is our next door neighbour, and the third is an old university friend. So when I have a slightly embarrassing problem, what do I do? It's slightly awkward, that, isn't it? Depends on the nature of the problem, I have to tell you. But up in my local GP's surgery, there's a sign, I'm sure it's in lots of them. Be a patient patient. Ooh, a little pun that they love in such things. And you ask yourself, well, why? Why do we call sick people patients? Have you ever asked yourself that? There we go, something to do while you're waiting for hours in the surgery for the GP. Why do we call sick? Well, it might be just that, mightn't it? It may be this: you have to wait until you get better. It may be you have to wait several hours for your appointment. Who knows? What does it matter in one sense? But I guess what they're getting at there is that you require patience when you're waiting for something to end. Here's the dictionary definition. I scribbled it down on the sheet. If you can read it, you have no need to go to the eye doctor. Patience, noun. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Which is a sort of worldly definition, but I think it would be pretty close to a biblical definition. You can wait. You can accept trouble, injustice, without anger. Now, if you're joining us today, we're spending a few weeks in this chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. We didn't have all of it read, just the first half of it read today. It's a very beautiful description of love. But Paul is actually writing to a church which is unloving, which is loveless. So this whole section, when he's writing here, verse 4, love is patient, you are not. Love is kind, and you are not, is the point of his letter. And love doesn't envy, unlike you. Love doesn't boast, you do. It's all unsaid, but if you read through the rest of the letter, pretty much every word he chooses or settles upon here, he's already pointed out to them that they've got a problem with, that they're lacking. For what it's worth, these are not actually adjectives as they get translated here, but verbs. It's not so much what love is as what love does. So you perhaps might better translate it, verse 4, love waits patiently. Love shows kindness. Love doesn't burn with envy. Love doesn't brag. Love isn't puffed up. Here is what love does and doesn't do. And so here he'd say, love is patient. Love is patient. Look, there are 15 little words in verses 4 to 7 describing or applying what love is. Probably about a third of them are all related to patience. About a third of them are related to humility, not being proud. So patience is a good place to start. Patience. And, hopefully it'll be of some use to you, even this afternoon, when you handle someone who produces within you a little sense of impatience, perhaps. Love is patient, verse 4. Literally, macrothumos. Love is long until anger, long until wrath. We're translated, love has a long fuse. The old King James Version had, love is long suffering. It's that sense of, you have a long fuse. Someone does something to you which is inappropriate, which is just wrong, but you don't You don't explode straight away. You just, the fuse burns and burns and burns for quite a long time before you address the issue. That's patience. It's quite a sort of evocative picture. Love has a long fuse. Now, let me point out the obvious. We are sometimes impatient. Here's a three little ways we might be. We can be impatient with the irritating people. Do you know any of them? So it may be in your office, someone is lazy or incompetent. And that's irritating. And we have this funny old phrase in English, you know, Charles may come in and say, do you know what, I don't suffer fools gladly. To which point you think, well, no one suffers fools gladly. Who does that? No one thinks, I've got a complete idiot on my team at work. Brilliant. I love the idiots. Nothing makes me sick. No one suffers fools gladly. It's a very silly thing to say, isn't it? By that you just mean I get very angry quite quickly with someone who is a fool. Love doesn't suffer fools gladly, but you'd have to say, according to this description, love suffers fools patiently. That's unlike us. Gives them help. Gives them the teaching, the training, the encouragement to get better at their job, that sort of thing. We're all impatient with the irritating. We can be, second little thing, we can be impatient if no one recognises who we are, if we're not treated as we desire. I was on a flight just recently, and I was in right at the front. It wasn't a long flight, but I was right at the front of economy. And plane comes into land, and I was able to look into the sort of rarefied atmosphere of business class, where most of you dwell, I'm sure. But I was able to look into that. It was a small plane, really, hardly any of those seats. But plane came into land, and the stewardess said, "Right, we're going to all have. Sorry, our normal docking point isn't here. It was a flight early morning into London, so clearly some use it to commute. We're not docking at our normal place, so everyone will have to go out the middle door on the left of the plane," which meant that everyone in business had to come back and through economy. Now, one man who was right at the front right, right next to a door, said, "But we always get off this door. This is always the door on this flight that we get off." I said, "Well, sorry, sir, we have to get off this door today." "But I won't be first off the plane." "No. So do you have a connecting flight?" "No." "Will you be late for a meeting?" "No. I just have to be first off the plane." "Why?" "Because I'm in business class and economy are going to go ahead of me." No, we won't do that." But you could see him just getting red-faced. And I was placating the situation by sort of beaming wildly at this man, thinking, "You are very petty. This is absolutely ridiculous. Maybe two people might..." No, it's fine. They stopped everyone in economy getting off this door. Everyone in business got off first. But he was the last of business class off. There must have been at least 15 people got off the plane ahead of him. And this was clearly very irritating. Why is that? Because he's used to being first. We get impatient with people if we're not acknowledged. It can be just a feature of pride. So we get impatient with the irritating, impatient if we're not treated as we desire. Then there is a sort of better sense of impatience, I guess. The third little thing, we get impatient with injustice. And that's just different, isn't it? Because there's a right way and a wrong way, but there is a right way, I guess, to be impatient with injustice. Did you see a couple of weeks ago, a story made all the English British papers of a woman in Egypt, 70-year-old woman in Minyar province, just sort of south of Cairo. 70-year-old woman was stripped naked and paraded through the streets in front of a crowd of hundreds, shouting "Allahu Akbar, God is great." Why? Because her son, a Christian man, was dating a Muslim, and this was apparently causing a great slur upon her family. So a 70-year-old woman was stripped naked and made to walk through the whole street. She said, "I found this experience very hard to swallow, but retaliation is not the way. It's never the way. We need to wait for change in our society, or pursue change, but never through retaliation." But there's something quite impressive about that, isn't there? I don't want to retaliate. I don't want vengeance. I'm not even... Now, I do want there to be change legally. I do want that. But I'm not fighting. I'm not shouting. I'm not ranting about that. Now, that's a hard thing to get right, isn't it? But we sometimes get it wrong. If injustice is done to us, are we willing to pursue redress carefully? Yeah, legally. Yeah. Or we just... Is our fuse a combustible one? Very quick. Look, there are some ways it goes wrong. What I want to do, though, is very briefly look at three aspects of God's patience. Because if we're going to learn what patience looks like biblically, well, to turn to the Lord must be a good way of doing it. Let me just turn to this one verse, which I think is helpful and tells us many things we can learn about patience. It's in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Again, for those who are blessed with good sight, you might be able to read it. Otherwise, let me read it to you. Romans 2 verse 4. Paul, in his argument there, says, "Do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" There are three little observations here, three things we can learn from God's patience. One, God patiently endures injustice. He waits. So this is a world which has rejected him, largely. Here is a world full of people made by God who has created them, and yet to a large part say, not interested. No, it could be in a very aggressive way. I hate the idea of a God. A very polite way. Not interested, thank you. Not interested. But he endures that. He endures injustice that we do to one another. He hasn't ended the world. No doubt, things such as an Orlando shooting caused the Lord enormous grief. More than Barack Obama standing up for the 18th time in his presidency to talk about such a thing. No doubt they caused the Lord great grief, but he endures them. He hasn't ended the world yet because he's patient. He's waiting. Now let me just distinguish, there is a difference between enduring injustice and accepting it. The Lord puts up with the injustices that take place in this world, but he never condones it. So, he's someone who got it quite clear to my mind in his thinking. Martin Luther King, in his famous letter from Birmingham Jail, makes that same distinction, encouraging civil rights campaigners. Quote, "We must endure injustice at this time, but never accept it. Don't retaliate, don't pursue vengeance, yet we must constantly point out to those who do us wrong, you are wrong. Our challenge must be there, it must be consistent, but always gracious." So he endured, his community endured injustice, wrong done, didn't fight, was never violent, but never accepted it, constantly campaigning for change. Now, God is like that. His love is not weak. God does not patiently endure the injustice of this world because he's not powerful enough to do something about it. He endures injustice. He never accepts it. Okay? We're to be the same. God patiently seeks repentance, will be a second little thing. Romans 2 verse 4, it says it all very clearly. Don't show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, forbearance, patience, not realizing that God's kindness is what? It's intended to lead you to repentance. He's waiting so people have time to turn back to him, to put their faith in Jesus Christ, that he has paid for all they've done wrong, so they won't have to. He's given people time for that. I always love the image, the metaphor that gets used in Isaiah 65 verse 2. The Lord says there, "All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways that are not good." It's a lovely picture, isn't it? God says, "All day long I hold out my hands." Many of us would have done that. A child is misbehaving and we say, come on, calm down. We do that. It's a physical thing, isn't it? It's an openness gesture. You can come back. We can be reconciled. Come on. Come and have a hug. Come and have a hug with mum. Come on. Calm down. To hold out your arms all day long is quite something. You may have tried it with a colleague. They might have found it slightly patronising. You're upset with me, aren't you? Do you want a hug? Different cultures work differently. You might get away with it. We've got a man from Rwanda staying in our house. He'll hug at the drop of a hat. He comes in, good morning, big hug. That's just how things roll. But if you're in the UK, not sure. You get away with that. But all day long, says the Lord. You see, his patient love is not indulgent. He wants repentance. Imagine you find yourself on the bus, on the tube maybe, and you're on the bus and there's a parent there with three children. And they are just shouting and hollering and they're throwing rubbish all over the bus and they're swearing at other passengers. Look at you, granny, you're old! And their behaviour is appalling. And, it depends on your temperament. Under your breath, you might be muttering, do something about your children, do something about your children. You might be one of those who's a bit more forthright. Oi, do something about your children. But you're not impressed with the parent's patience. You don't sit there and think, wow, that mother is very patient with her children. There's an admirable patience. You don't admire it. You say, do something. Do something with them. God is not a parent who indulges. Patient love will correct. It seeks change, but does so without anger, without reproving, without contempt. So that woman, the lady in Egypt, or Martin Luther King, what they're saying is, in politics, patience may mean there's time for an evil to be addressed, an evil to be removed, without violence. And that's why you're patient. You want there to be change. You want there to be repentance on the behalf of leaders without there being violence. That's what you're doing. And in interpersonal relationships, it's the same. Just with a colleague. They offend you. You could roar back at them. Or you could gently, later on, point out that something was inappropriate, that something needs to change. And they're two very different ways. Patience hopes that the evil is addressed, that there's repentance, there's apology, without roaring back at someone before they've got a chance to do so. I had a man speak to me 2 weeks ago. He's a very nasty conflict with a member of his immediate family. And knowing them both, she has the capacity to roar. You politely describe her as one of Latin temperament. She roars, she expresses herself forcibly, audibly, violently, foul-mouthedly, that's a concept. And he said to me, oh, I'm relating to this family member, how are you doing? He said, I have to tell you, my tongue is very sore, because I spend most of my time biting it at the moment. And I've got a cold sore on my tongue, because I've bitten it so much, physically I've had to do that, rather than perfect either, and sort of list out all the wrongs on her side. Okay, love is patient, but it always seeks repentance. He's praying for and hoping for in his sister repentance. Okay, so God patiently endures injustice. He endures it, never condones it. He always desires, seeks repentance. So the issues do get addressed, but not aggressively so. Third little thing. Look, God is patient, but justice comes. Oh, that's true throughout the Bible. God's people in the Old Testament, around about the year 1200 BC, they enter the Promised Land, but their behaviour is not as God desires, and he sends them prophet after prophet and says, you've got to change, or I will boot you out of this land. You've got to change, or a foreign invader will come and destroy you. You've got to change. You've got to change. And in the year 587, or 600 odd years later, well, judgment did come upon them. But it was quite a long time in coming. There are a lot of warnings. And the Bible is clear. God will come to this world and end this world. He's patient, but it will end. Don't confuse God's patience with indifference. Or assume he's not there. Many, many years ago, in the late 19th century, the best known preacher in London was a man called Joseph Parker. So every week he would pack out City Temple. You can still go and see City Temple. It's still there. Big old building, holds a few thousand, Hoburn-y, Black Friday way. And he would pack that out, and his were the sermons that got published in the Times all the time. He was the best known preacher of the day. On one occasion, he famously debated the most prominent atheist of his day, a man called Robert Ingersoll. So he was sort of the Richard Dawkins, you know, everyone knew Ingersoll, he hates God, he hates the Christians. And they had a public debate one day. And so Ingersoll went first and listed everything that was wrong with Christianity, everything that was wrong with Christians. And then at one point, towards the end of his speech, Ingersoll threw back his head and said, "I have just vilified, assailed, and profaned the name of Almighty God. I challenge you, if you exist, I give you 5 minutes to strike me dead upon this spot." And they very demonstrably just stood there. And after a minute said, 4 minutes left. 3 minutes left. You can imagine, there's a bit of excitement in the crowd. He's clearly a bit of a showman. 1 minute left. Time is up. For there is no God. And so that was it. He sort of sat down. Oh, very good. And everyone applauded. Joseph Parker stood up and replied, and by all accounts went through point by point, and finished his address simply by saying, "I wonder, did the good gentleman think that he would be able to exhaust the patience, frustrate the grace, and thwart the mercy of the eternal God in just 5 minutes? Happily for him and for many, his patience is much longer than that." It's a shrewd answer. It's a biblical answer. Look, God is patient, but justice will come. He's given humanity time to turn back to him, to trust in Jesus Christ, through him, to know God perfectly again, have a relationship with God again. God patiently endures injustice. He seeks repentance. God is patient, but justice comes. Now look, let me try and ground that. That helps. That helps in the mundane encounters of life, or the very painful ones. I hope none of us are facing an injustice of being stripped naked and paraded through the streets over the crowds, telling everything we've done wrong. Happily, we're not in the UK. But in the smaller injustices of life, how does this help? Well, put it this way. Let me put it in these terms. This afternoon, you are angry with someone. You feel let down. A promise has been made. It's not been fulfilled. Whatever it may be, promotion, pay rise, whatever. You are angry with someone. Or you feel someone has just stolen something from you at work. Not the stapler. But something significant. A revenue stream. A client. The credit for a good idea. What do you do with your anger? Because it's natural to be irritated. It's natural to be impatient with someone and instantly demand that there be redress instantly. What do you do? Well, I guess the Christian is one who is able to say, this person has done wrong. Hold on, before I act, is it worse than the ingratitude that I've shown the living God? Is it? Is it worse than, despite the fact that I know that I deserve to be cut off from him forever for my selfishness, for my self-absorption, for my sin, he came down, endured rejection, pain, death in this world for me, and yet still, every day, he says, live like this, and I think, nah, I know better than that. I am relentlessly ungrateful. I am relentless in my disavowal of the things that he stands for. Sometimes consciously, sometimes less so. Does God have reason to be impatient with me? Yes, he does. Is he patient to me through Jesus Christ? He always is. Okay. Given I've known that generosity, that kindness, that mercy, that patience, how can I show that to someone else? How can I show that to him in the office? Well, I can patiently endure injustice like God does, not condone it. Maybe I have to go to court eventually, and maybe that's the right outcome. Maybe there's unfair dismissal, maybe, but I'm very slow to go down that route. I'll endure. I'll seek repentance. I'll politely, not aggressively, not forcefully, point out what has gone wrong and give someone time, space to respond. But I will know that justice comes. And sometimes you can endure enormous frustration with knowing that hopefully in this country, in a legal system, you get some justice. Wonderfully, we often do. But ultimately, you certainly do. Desmond Tutu, you know, famous archbishop in South Africa, in the vanguard of those campaigning for equality in the apartheid era. He put it this way. He was asked upon his reflections. He said, God cares about justice. He hates injustice. But above all, God is in charge. That is what has upheld the morale of our people for years, to know that in the end, eternally, good will prevail. See, there was a man, there was a people who endured enormous injustice, but knows that ultimately, good will prevail. Now that allows you to grow your patience. Know how God has treated you with kindness and patience. Know that justice comes. So for all of us, God is the model. And if you're here still daydreaming on these things, not daydreaming, that's the poor word, still thinking through these things, uncertain of the truth of the Christian faith, oh, enjoy the riches of God's patience, his patience with you, but don't presume upon them. Can I encourage you to not do that? Jesus will return at some point, and patience ends. We need that to be the case. So don't wait too long on these things. But wonderfully, for you and for me, he is long-suffering. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, love is patient. You have demonstrated that wonderfully in your actions throughout history. You've demonstrated your kindness, more than patience, but kindness, in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay, to atone for, to take on the debts of all that we've done wrong. And now you wait. You patiently wait, holding out your hands to us, saying, return to me. Please return to me. What a patient God you are. Father, we pray that we would be those who turn back to you, enjoy you as a wonderfully patient God. And for those of us who are yours, for those of us who are Christians, would we demonstrate this sort of behavior? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.